Okay, good evening, everyone. This is Rochelle Wilhite, designated broker for Best Choice Realty. I am recording the call tonight, so if you are running around tonight with a lot of things to do, be sure to check back in if you missed part of the call. We're going to be talking about conference call number 4, which is fanatical follow-up, some good formulas, and some things to consider when converting leads or following up with leads. This is a follow-up session to last week's conference call where we discussed lead generation and came up with some ideas on how to talk to leads and maybe set the stage. The thing I want to talk about tonight is the fanatical part of follow-up. A lot of agents, a lot of real estate brokers I've talked to over the years have never really understood what follow-up is all about. And so I want to take it back to the word prospecting tonight and talk about just the dictionary version of prospecting. I don't know if you knew this, but prospecting is a verb, and verb means action. So when we follow up, we are also prospecting. It's a search out and explore. Those are the types of verbs. When you're talking about prospecting, that means taking action and actually doing something with the leads that are in your system or your database, or your social media, or your Excel sheet that you're looking at tonight. You've got to do something with those prospects and turn them into actual clients or customers. So tonight's session is really about that and some ideas and tips that I've used in my business that have helped me become very successful and hopefully give you some ideas to take away tonight on perhaps a plan or a strategy. Okay, let me jump into my conference call notes here. Okay, super. So when you are first given a lead, and there's a lot of times where somebody will say, Rochelle, can you follow up with this person? Or my friend is looking to buy a house. Or, you helped my dad purchase a house, and now we're thinking about putting our home on the market. The moment that occurs, that lead is given to you, in whatever fashion it may be, whether it be a inquiry on Facebook that came in as an inbound message on Facebook Messenger, a text message from a friend saying, hey, this person's thinking about it, a Zillow a call that comes in because you purchased leads from Zillow, or even a simple friend says, at a party, I'd like to, talk to you more about putting my house in the market. The fanatical part of the follow-up needs to be done within 5 minutes. There's been studies that have been done at MIT and prospecting workshops, sales conventions all over the nation. And if you do not follow up within 5 minutes, initially, you have less likelihood that that lead will be converted. However, it still can be converted. And I'll explain why. Most agents don't do a good job at following up, and we're going to talk about the strategy behind that. But I wanted to first put it out there that you do need to make sure you follow up within 5 minutes initially with the social media, text message, internet leads, email response, any type of lead that you get, you should be following up very quickly initially. When you have a new lead, if the time or day is appropriate, you want to call immediately. Like I said earlier, prospecting is an action word, and so you want to make that really good contact by phone so you can get an understanding of what they're looking for. If it's too early or too late, you could send them an email. And if you have an email address that says, too early or too late to call, so texting you tonight or emailing you right now, that could be the subject line so that it flags in their system that you did take action and that you did reach out and follow up with them initially right away. That's important to think about when you're setting up your first contact or your first follow-up. Also include in that email or that text when you will be following up with them. And make sure to do it and show that you're dependable. Dependability is very high as far as a lead wanting to work with a real estate broker that's dependable. So if you say you're going to do something, make sure you do it. The next bullet point or item to discuss is calling at the appropriate time. introducing yourself, asking questions about time frame and whether they're pre-approved and what they're looking for and their must-haves, how do they like the website, those types of questions that build relationships, those kinds of things need to be done at the appropriate time. Sometimes people are busy. Sometimes you caught people in the middle of their work. You want to have the time to listen to their story. So make sure that you ask them, you know, is this a good time if you are reaching them and you're the one that's proactively prospecting or calling or texting, make sure you ask them if it's appropriate for you to discuss a few questions and what would be the best time to do so. You want to have time to listen to their story. Keep it light and smile. You can hear somebody if they're having a bad day. Sometimes it comes right through the phone. But make sure that you want to work with them as much as they want to work with you. And most importantly, they need to know that you sincerely care about what they are looking for and that they can trust you. If you sound rushed or if you sound too busy, then they'll most likely not want to continue to respond to your follow-up and your phone calls. If you've only been able to leave messages, say you received an inquiry or a lead, and you've only been able to leave messages and send a couple of emails, then you really should call again. If you called in the evening before, maybe you want to try earlier in the day or on the weekend. That could be just as simply as changing up your messaging in your emails after you send a, you know, after you make a phone call, and just say, I've been trying to connect by phone every night. Perhaps you're a morning person. Something like that that really is human and genuine. If you have to leave a message on their phone, let them know you'll email them and ask them for a response in that regard. That's helped me a lot of times in connecting with people. You don't want to give up. You want to be very persistent in your prospecting. So it's called persistent prospecting, if you want to write that down. That's the key to success in conversion of leads. My conversion of leads when I was working back in the early 2000s was extremely high. I was one of the sought-after lead converters in many companies because I was very persistent. That was the secret to my success. Not only did I just call them once, but I called them twice, three times, four times, but I did it very strategically. And so we're going to talk about my strategic plan in just a minute, but I wanted to let you know that there are some things that can that I tried. You know, when I got stuck, that's what I did. I tried to reach them at different times in the evening, maybe on the weekend, and try to connect with them that way. When you are sending emails, you want to change your subject line up. So one of the ones I loved was, just want you to know I'm a real live real estate professional. I use that one a lot. I specialize in the put in the area that they're interested in. I'm here to help as a resource, or if you're ready to go out and see some homes, please call or email me so I can know what best time to move forward with and help you. Again, it's all about helping. It's all about service. Those are some of the key words. It's all about what their needs and what their wants are, not about my commission. It's all customer service related. So your email or your tone when you send emails or when you send text messages is all about them, not about you. If you receive no responses and after you've made several attempts, there's no more phone calls, you know, you may want to stagger it back down to a quarterly follow-up or a touch-base type of email. I've converted people that have been in my database for even 6 to 9 months, maybe even over a year, and they're surprised by how well my system or the prospecting fanatical follow-up that I do really has an impact, and they know that they can reach me and they know how to reach me. So don't be shocked if you have people in your database you haven't talked to in several months and then you start up the system and you start to see that they actually respond or they say tell you what their situation is. Most agents will give up after the first attempt. They'll make that first contact really fast. If they don't get a hold of somebody or they don't get a text message back, they'll give up on the lead and think it's maybe a bad lead or it may not be somebody they want to work with because they're not serious. If I have a name, a phone number, or if I have a name and an email address, even if I don't have a name and I have a phone number or I have an email address, there's still a form of contact to be made. And most likely I could get in touch with those people by providing them with a correct or the appropriate follow-up plan. The thing I like about phone calls is that you can really connect with a person on a real personal level. I don't want to sound like a solicitor when I'm on the phone. I want to be real and engaging with my conversation so that they're excited to meet with you, that they know you're local, that they know you're experienced, and that they know that you can help them find that property that they have been desiring. Make sure you give them feedback with what you hear. So when they say something like, "Rochelle, I'm thinking about going for like a 3-bedroom, 2-bath in the rented area," that might sound very impossible. I need to find something under $400,000. So what you can do is you can make sure that you give them feedback. So what I hear you say is that you're looking for a home that is close to work, that's under $400,000. Repeat back what they were looking for. And if I found something that met in the rented area that was totally, within your 5 to 10 minute commute to work, would you want me to email that, text that information to you, or give you a call back? And give them options and make sure that they know you are paying attention to what they want. You can do that very easily on the phone. It's harder to do by email or by text because you can't gauge their reaction or their the trust that they have in you. So I love to connect on a personal level by the phone. I think that's the best way to have success. Although text messaging is great, oftentimes that first couple phone calls to really get an understanding of what they're looking for need to be done on the phone. I had a coach tell me one time, I was struggling because I wasn't the greatest on the phone, and a coach told me one time, "Rochelle, you know what, the one thing that you're doing a great job, first off," he said, "you have your list of questions by your desk, of what kind of questions you want to ask these clients that you're having conversations with. But what I'm gauging from you is that you're only asking one question in each category, and you're really not getting into the meat of the issue." I was having an okay success. I was getting a hold of people, and that was what we were trying to accomplish. But we were wanting to have more conversations and obviously more clients convert from the leads that I was given. So one of the things he had me do was set an alarm or set a little clock by my desk and just write down at the top of my paper when I made the phone call. I had my script or I had my list of questions that I wanted to ask this potential lead sitting by my desk. And there was a list of probably about 9 or 10 questions that I wanted to ask that I was very comfortable and confident asking. When working with buyers and when working with sellers, I had two different pieces of paper on my desk. At the top of my paper, what he had me write down, which I thought was a great, kind of a weird idea, but I was going to go with it, is he had me put start time and stop time. And we coached, what he did is he coached me through keeping the client on the phone long enough so I could gather more information and build more rapport. And I start to see my conversion of my leads almost double because the client felt more comfortable staying on the phone and I felt more comfortable asking follow-up questions. So not only was I just asking my 9 or 10 questions when they were a buyer, when they would answer the question or when I would get some sort of information, I would then maybe follow up with another question. And ideally, I was only staying on the phone, I think only 2 to 5 minutes, and pretty soon, a good conversation is anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes when you're on the phone with either a buyer or a seller. So when you're having that initial conversation, if you're feeling like you're rushed or if it's only 5 minutes, you really have a lot more to do in getting that lead converted. And you may want to try that strategy with putting the start time and the stop time on your sheet and coaching yourself to really spend more time. If you're not able to spend more time, perhaps you go back to that lead and you ask more questions or you follow up to get more information and really have a longer dialogue with that client. I was coached by the Mike Ferry team at one point in my career, and a lot of the notes from this session have been taken from that. He said to be very fanatical with your follow-up, so I was trained that way. The definition of a lead for the Mike Ferry organization was somebody who was going to sign a contract in 7 days. That's how serious they took it. Now, being in the internet world, and understanding that clients have choice, they like to search out different real estate companies, my definition of a lead was a little bit different than Mike Ferry's in that I want to reach out and a person I felt was a good lead was somebody who was ready, willing, and able to either buy or sell a home in the next 60 days, who I had approval to follow up with in the coming weeks. So, you know what, I wasn't so rigid in saying, you know, a good lead is somebody who's going to buy in the next 7 days or sign a contract, although I think it's important to define a lead. Mine was somebody that was ready, willing, and able to discuss their needs with me in the next week and either buy or sell in the next 60 days. That was a lead that I wanted to really hone in on and focus on. Since the goal to convert a lead into an appointment, one of the things I learned also from a coach was I would get on the phone and just start talking, and that was okay to keep people on the phone a long time. But, again, you lose the purpose of why you're calling. You either want to get an appointment with that particular person that you're talking with on the phone or texting with, or you want to find out when a good time to follow up with them would be. So, for example, if I talk with a seller and the seller says, you know, we're looking to put our house on the market in the springtime, what I may want to do is find out when I can talk with them next. And spring is right around the corner. February and March, if they're wanting to put their home on the market, is actually right now. So I may want to find out when I can check in with them again and get a follow-up plan scheduled with that particular lead. I apologize for my cold today. I've got a little cold that's coming on. The goal to convert a lead into an appointment is to have a follow-up plan. 70% of your appointments will come from a lead follow-up plan, not from your first contact. That's a true statistic. When you're working your leads, you'll want to take a careful look. I did this every week. The first day of the week, usually a Sunday or a Monday, I would take a look at all the number of the leads that I had obtained and make it a goal to see how many of these would meet with me in the next week. And that would be something I'd write on my whiteboard. One of the most important parts of the follow-up program also, as I would go through each week, is I would look at my leads and find out, you know, there were some from a whole year ago that maybe had never responded to any emails, any phone calls, and sometimes I would get off track and wait months or a couple months before I go out and clear out some of those people, but don't let all of the number of the leads detract from the purpose of keeping the leads that you want to work at the forefront. Make sure that you cycle through and realize that if you have more than 200, which many of you do not, you want to make sure that all of the clutter doesn't really muck up your system and cloud your judgment and really hide the really great leads that you may have received in the last few months. So make sure you're using your trash can or you're looking at ways to organize so that you don't lose track of the really good leads that you're working on. If they're unresponsive, doesn't mean they're bad. It just might be that you need to put them on a different type of plan. Our job as an agent is to really do three things. Generate our leads, which you guys should be very good at doing at this point in time. Converting leads into appointments, that's another part of our job. And then going on appointments prepared. And we have tools to help you with becoming prepared, knowing what to take on your appointments. But converting leads into appointments is a skill set that takes time and it takes prospecting. So one of the things that you want to do is create a system for your new leads. The new lead, the referral, even a sphere of influence lead. You're going to want to set up a search for them if they haven't done so already for themselves using an IDX website, which like our website, we can do that. It's a home search notification system. We can set up the special search for them on the Northwest MLS Matrix website. All of these home sale notifications will send them listings when they become, you know, that meet their criteria. So if a lead has expressed interest, I want to buy a home in a certain area or zip code or in a certain school zone, what you want to do is make sure you have a conversation with them, set them up for a search, and then you also want to call and have a conversation with them. If you reach them by phone, you're wanting to know if they are ready, willing, and able, and then find out when you can secure appointment or when you can follow up next. You can tag them or you can set a next contact date. Some people even use a simple calendar, a desktop calendar. I've seen Outlook being used. I've seen systems that like CRM systems that help remind you when you need to contact the next the lead the next time. Just don't, when they say, oh, I'm not looking for a few months, you want to take that as an objection, as a smoke screen, and probably you don't want to wait 3 months before you contact them next. You always want to keep close in contact with them. So if somebody says, I'm not willing to buy something in 3 months, what that usually means to me is they're probably a month or a month and a half out. Cut it in half, and that usually is a good indicator of when they'll actually transact. So number one, add a new lead or referral to your database. Number two, set up a search for them. Number three, call and email the lead. Even if you've had a conversation with them and discover if they are ready, willing, and able, set up a follow-up date, number four. And number five, if you do not reach them by phone or you do not reach them, set them up on a follow-up system and try them again during that first week, another time by reaching them by phone. You want to keep calling them, not leaving messages because that would be a pest, but keep calling them until you reach them by phone. And let them know that you are going to follow up regularly to demonstrate the type of service that you're going to offer. The question I want you to think about tonight is, have you lost more business because you overcalled, or have you lost more business because you undercalled? I mean, did you really lose a lot of business because you were on the phone, you know, 2-3 hours a day? I actually say the motivated people, the type of buyers that I want to work with and the kind of clients that I want to have in my circle are people that want good follow-up efficiency and persistent agents. So I would lean more to overcalling the leads rather than undercalling. I feel like more agents will lose their clients because they, oh, I forgot to call that person. Oh, that slipped my mind. Oh, I had, and then they start making excuses for why they did not call. So be sure you're doing a good job with that. The last 5 to 10 minutes of the call here, I'm going to give you my action plan to follow up with leads. And you can mimic this if you like using our Real Geeks client management system on our CRM. I think I've emailed most of you that are on the call tonight the follow-up emails that I use. They're very short and sweet. They're actually fairly straightforward. But these are the emails that I would set up in my auto email system, making it very easy just to execute on this type of plan. So my action plan was this. If the lead responds and turns into a client, I really want personal communication. And you want follow-up based on if they're ready, willing, and able, it's a weekly touch-based type of thing. And it's very personal. And I do have emails that if they get off track or they're not on track or you can't get them to respond to you, there are some ways to turn them back into a client and continue conversing in a personal way. But the leads that you may have reached, maybe had that initial conversation with, or you didn't have a conversation with, this is the type of follow-up plan that I put them all on. So day one, I would send them a welcome call or text and a personal email suited to their inquiry or acknowledging how I received their information. Day one also would have, if we could identify in day one, the area and price range so that we can properly set them up on the MLS or a system to get home sale or new listing information to meet their criteria. That's what you want to accomplish in day one. If you the first time you reach somebody or the first time that somebody gave you Billy Bob wants to buy a home in Seattle. The moment you have that initial conversation, you want to gather their either information, the best way to reach them, what price range, what area, and then set them up for notifications on the MLS or another system. It needs to be very focused so that the lead is not getting inundated with listings. So be sure you keep the target area. If I do a search and it had like 250 hits, I need to rework their search or ask more questions to really isolate the amount of properties that are currently on the market. If there's more than 100, that's overwhelming to a client. So keep the target area of hits when you initially set up their MLS system, or if you set up a home sale notification or a hot sheet for them on the MLS or on another website, make sure your initial findings is less than 100. Then save that for them so they're not inundated when new listings come on the market. The next touch point would be on day five. So I'd follow up with another email number one, and make another call attempt. Another touch point on day seven, I send them follow-up email number two. I don't make a call attempt on day seven. Day 15, I do follow-up email number three and make another call attempt. Day 21, I do a follow-up email number four and make another call attempt. Notice that's about a week out. Day 30, I do follow-up email number five and make another call attempt. And again, this is people I have not been able to touch base with and really have a good 15-minute conversation about their home search. The next one is day 39. I'll do follow-up email number six. Day 48, I do follow-up email number seven. Day 60, follow-up email number eight. Day 65, follow-up email number nine. And day 76, follow-up email number 10. And I do another call attempt at that time. So I, in essence, have made, if I count back, one, two, three, four, five, six, there's about six or seven call attempts that have been made over a period of 3 months. And that's what you need in order to convert some leads. You think, oh, I can just make a phone call initially. I met this person at the party and they said that they were looking to buy a home. Well, that sometimes that first contact or that first text message doesn't go very far, and you have to be very persistent. I think I've explained that tonight, hopefully well enough so you can make those adjustments in your business, in your business prospecting. It's not a simple system. It takes time, and it takes diligence, and it takes persistence. After people always ask me, well, Rochelle, what did you do after, day 76, you made that call attempt? Then I put them on a monthly newsletter and perhaps check in quarterly depending on their activity on my website. If they were checking in and I still had not made attempts, I might randomly call them again, but I'm not going to really put a lot of time and effort. If I've made 4 to 6 call attempts and sent them approximately 11 to 12 emails, that's a lot of attention, and that's probably the more than 90% of the real estate brokers will do out there. I have emails, follow-up email number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 that you guys can take from the call tonight. All you need to do is send me an email. I'll be happy to copy and paste and send this over to you, the action plan to follow up with new leads. And I use this for Zillow leads. I use this for Craigslist leads. I use this for leads I generated from my website. I use it for social media leads. And the system, it's funny, I tried it with all these different types of leads, and it's funny because it all worked the same. My conversion was very, very high when I employed this type of system. Now, your system doesn't have to look like mine. You could create something completely different. Maybe you don't send something out on day 48. Maybe you do it on day 30. I think the important part to point out tonight is that you have a system. And a lot of real estate agents just go into this blindly, thinking, oh, I'll make a couple phone calls and call it good, when in reality, that's not how you best convert leads or best convert them into appointments. You need a systematic way of following up. So I hope you guys took something from the call tonight. Again, I apologize for my uneasy voice. And if you have any other questions, be sure to reach out. But good luck with all your prospecting. And we'll talk to you again next Monday. Bye-bye.